Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Vegan Food and Living's Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, and my co-host, Molly Pickering. Each week, we discuss the latest vegan news, taste test the newest vegan products, and speak to some of the leading names in veganism about everything from nutrition, immunity, and weight loss to recipe ideas and alternative proteins. We also answer your questions each week, so don't forget to email us at simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. Welcome to another episode of the podcast, everybody. How are you, Molly?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy to see your face and hear your voice.
Yes,
how are you?
And you. Yeah, you're like my little ray of sunshine every week. And it is so sunny today. I just don't want it to end ever.
I know. Well, I don't know what part of the country you're in, because we had a chat earlier and I am convinced it's very cold. To be fair, I've not left the house today, so I've been working, but Holly's convinced it's 28 degrees outside, so I don't know where you are.
I'm in sunny Dorset, darling. I told you need to move.
Oh, I know. Bristol, it's just like, it's very autumnal out there. It's crisp.
Is it?
It's nice. I like it, but it's not 28 degrees.
No. Well, it's literally, I went out earlier because I had an appointment and I was boiling. I had shorts on and a thin jumper and I had to change. That's how hot it was. Anyway. we always get distracted by the weather, don't we? Let's talk about our new challenge which we're launching today. I'm very excited about this.
Me too.
It's our whole food plant-based challenge which we're going to be doing for 30 days. So yeah. I think we need some rules, don't we? Because obviously we still need to be taste testing our amazing new vegan products. So
we need to be taste testing those. Yeah. That's a must.
Yeah. Listeners need to know if these products are any good or not. So I was thinking, do we discount those or do we just kind of have a smaller amount of them when we're taste testing them? I don't want any food waste.
No, I don't want food waste either. So I'm thinking, let's just discount them. We're human at the end of the day. We're allowed treats. And I think, what do we normally get? Like 2-3 a week?
Yeah.
I think that's over, you know, what do you eat? Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
Snacks, you know, I feel like we've got this. We can discount them.
Okay. We better get calling in some massive chocolate bars, I think.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna need it. We're gonna need it.
But yeah, really exciting. We just wanted to kind of take it back to basics because, you know, there are so many exciting vegan products launching all the time. Even in the time I've been vegan, which is 3-4 years, you know, the market has just absolutely exploded, which is amazing. But you can get a little bit distracted and you know, just find yourself eating processed food like three times a day, which is not what we want. We want to remember that, you know, veganism is not just about the animals, it's not just about the planet, but it is also about being healthy. And it is an amazingly healthy option. So, yes, we have later on an interview with Lisa Marley, who is a vegan chef and nutrition advisor. And she's going to be giving us loads of tips, recipe ideas.
Can't wait.
All the lowdown.
So excited.
What we need to be thinking about. And it's going to be great for new vegans as well. We're also going to be doing a weekly vegetable showcase.
Yes. I'm excited about this one. Think MasterChef.
More like Ready, Steady, Cook.
Yeah, I feel like it's more Ready, Steady, Cook. Or come dine with me.
Yeah. So we're going to pick a seasonal vegetable.
Or fruit.
Okay, so you're putting it into your special Molly machine.
It's very high tech. It's very high tech. It's this really advanced website that I've just copy and pasted, and I've lost it now. Oh my God, I've lost it. Where's it gone?
This is not a good start.
I found it. So it's just I've put in everything that's in season for September. So we've got fruit wise, we've got pears, damsons, plums, raspberries, rhubarb, all of my favorite things.
Delicious.
And then for fruit, we've got aubergine, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, hit and miss sometimes. I love a Brussels sprout.
I love them.
Me too. Leeks, marrow, mange tout, pumpkins, radishes. Oh my gosh, samphire. We've got loads of stuff. How can you be lost for choice when on a vegan diet? Actually baffles me. Each week we will be going through this list and picking at random, and then showcasing sort of like a recipe that we've done, and head to the Instagram page Simple Vegan Podcast and to see our little recipe reel on there.
Do we have to film ourselves doing them?
I think so. It's going to be very like makeshift. Bootleg.
I've talked about before on the podcast, I think I was talking about it last week. I'm so rubbish at Instagram because I'm 42. And I think you get to, you know, anyone over a certain age. I mean, I know that's a very big generalization, but it's a young person's game, isn't it?
Do you know what I think though? We're not cooks. We're not chefs. And I don't think we're trying to be. And I think what this needs to be is, because a lot of vegan cooking can be intimidating for some people. So I think what we need to see this as is, you know, anyone can join in, anyone can cook, and very basic stuff. Like, we're not going to be, I don't know, I can't think of anything like really extreme.
No Ban Maries.
No Ban Maries. No Ban Maries. I haven't got a Ban Marie.
Yeah, we're just going to keep it real, which is
keep it real.
Kind of what this show's all about, isn't it? You know, we are just two normal vegans sharing our highs and lows and experiences and tips and tricks and things. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Do you want to pick the vegetable now then?
Let's go. Ready? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is going to be the highlight of my week, honestly.
That's really sad.
What if we get a really rubbish one? What is it going to be right there? Oh, we got rocket.
Rocket. Oh, no. Okay.
Should I do it again?
Yeah, do it again. Let's start with a good one. Rocket. Come on.
Yeah, I thought I took rocket out of there, to be honest. So we have got peppers.
Okay. So are they the sort of peppers that you'd call bell peppers in America? So like
bell peppers, maybe like any four. What are the longer ones?
Like the sweet peppers.
Sweet peppers. I feel like we can kind of be a bit more broad.
Okay. In my veg box, I keep getting the tiny little ones.
Oh, those are so cute.
Yeah, I know. I've been putting them in salads, but yeah, it'd be quite interesting to see what else I could do with them other than that. Oh, I did put them on a homemade pizza last night. Okay, so we'll now go away, do a little bit of research and come up with our recipes. And like you said, we'll showcase them on Instagram over the course of the week. Moving on to this week's news. I absolutely love this story because it's causing such a stir. The launch of a vegan black pudding by the Bury Black Pudding Company. It's launching in Asda for $1.79, and it's made from black beans and vegetable fats. social media has gone bonkers over it. The anti-vegans are like literally losing their shit because you can't have a vegan black pudding.
It's really torn people, isn't it? And to me, I wasn't the biggest black pudding eater. My dad, who has now started listening to the show, by the way, let me just say Woo-hoo! This.
Hi, Molly's dad.
Hi, Mark. He is an avid listener now. I think he listened to like, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 episodes over the course of a day. So he's a bit, he knows it's a bit too far now. I remember him giving me black pudding when I was younger in like fry ups and stuff, you know, calves. And it wasn't the nicest thing. But when I think it was maybe in the start of the year, I had vegan black pudding. It wasn't from this company, it was from, it was in like a whole food shop. I got like an alternative of it. And it just tasted like stuffing, which was really strange. So I'm interested to see what this one is like.
Yeah, I had it randomly in a pub. When I first went vegan, I went to a country pub and I was just clueless. I just didn't really think about, you know, having to, like now, I'll like look at the menu online. If there's nothing online, I'll ring them up. And there's a whole lot of research that goes into my meals out, because there's nothing worse than getting to this lovely pub in the middle of nowhere. And they're like, well, no, sorry, there's literally nothing other than chips and salad. So
chips and salad.
Yeah. And randomly just rocked up at this country pub and they said, oh, well, we could do you a vegan black pudding salad. And I was like, that sounds like the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. And like you, I never touched black pudding, just knowing it was made from blood.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, but this was great. It was made from black beans. So just to read some of the comments from the non-vegans, why the fuck are we pandering to vegans all the time? As if, you know, we're all there demanding this black pudding be made vegan. Yeah.
No one is asking for this. I mean, it's great that it's happening and they're obviously wanting to reach a wider audience, but I have never once met a vegan and they've like, do you know what I fancy? Never in my life has that happened.
I know. I mean, yeah, there's just so many comments about, you know, why the hell do vegans always want to eat things that taste or look like meat? Well, we don't all want to, but some of us are vegan for the animals, so we don't want to eat a dead animal. We don't want anyone to suffer for something that, you know, is just going to be, we're chewing up and, you know, literally 2 minutes in our mouth and
yeah, exactly, a whole life gone.
I know.
Yeah, it's really hard for some people to grasp that, isn't it? It's just like they literally lose their minds. It's just like, why are you calling it chicken? It's not chicken. It's just like, it's fine, you don't have, this isn't an issue, like this isn't affecting you, it's fine, take a step back, take a breather, calm down.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. There's room for everybody. There's room for, you know, all this choice, and it's an amazing world that we're living in. So let's just celebrate it. I had a quick look on the website, and, you know, even if you weren't vegan, I think you'd want to switch, because the vegan version is only 3% fat. So that's 1.5 grams per 100 grams. And the traditional one is made with pork fat and dried pork blood. And it's got 6.77 grams per 100 grams. So way higher in fat and made from blood. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
I ain't a vampire. I ain't eating no blood. Not at all. Next.
Okay, so next story is that there's the first ever vegan Pizza Express, which I was really excited to read about. Did you write the story for this one?
I did indeed. Do you know what? I'm going to hold my hands up here. I've never been to a Pizza Express.
What?
I know. I've never been.
Why?
I don't know. I've never been to one. I think
it's because you live in cities and you've got so much choice.
Yeah. But I mean, even in Wales, like we had a Pizza Express and it was just like, I think maybe, I don't know, I had loads. loads of siblings, and my mum was just like, I'm not going to Pizza Express, there's too many of you, it'd be too expensive. Yeah. We'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, as I've moved to like cities and stuff, and obviously being vegan, there's plenty of vegan pizza places in Bristol.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but this has made me want to go 100%. Yeah. It looks amazing.
So where is it then?
It is in London on near the Strand. I can't remember the street exactly. It's on the website, Go On Vegan Food and Living website. It's on there. But yeah, sort of central, I think someone said near like Covent Garden and stuff. I think it's a pop-up store. Right. I don't think it's a permanent restaurant. It's to celebrate their new vegan additions to the menu, which is amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'd love. Yeah, it's kind of a novelty thing, isn't it? But we definitely all have to visit if we can. I mean, I'm.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So that they see how successful it is, and then roll it out nationwide.
Definitely, I think. Yeah, it's strange. It said pop up, but they haven't given like a final date or how long it's going to be there for. So I think they might just sort of be trialing it and see how it goes.
It's like veggie pretz, isn't it?
Are they in London as well? I'm so out of touch with London. So I just.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happened with that, because I know it was quite heavily affected by lockdown, the pandemic and everything.
Right.
But yeah, they were planning to roll them out nationwide. But yeah, not sure what's going on with them. Okay, well, let's go on to our reviews section for this week. It's National Tofu Month. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but I'm glad that I do now.
I feel like September is everything month. So it's secondhand September, where we're encouraged to only buy secondhand things, which is amazing. Okay. And definitely quite something quite apt, because I think you do hit September and you go, ooh, I need a new autumn wardrobe.
Whereas, you
know, you don't. You just want to buy new stuff.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's literally been me. I've been thinking about what jackets I'm going to be buying.
Yeah.
Not jackets, but like just everything.
It's the boots and the jeans and the jackets and the jumpers and all that. Yeah. It's also Organic September. Again, an amazing campaign. But it's also National Tofu Month, which has obviously been forgotten with the other things going on. So we had some new products sent to us, tofu-based, from Cauldron. They're both organic. The first was pressed tofu, which is RRP 190, available in Asda from this month. It's kind of pre-pressed, so it's like designed to be super easy and quick to use. So you just drain it, chop and cook it. And also the new organic tofu mince, which is £2.25 and available from Asda and Tesco from this month. What did you think of these things? What did you cook with them?
For the pressed tofu, I was really hungry. So I went to get my nails done and I came back really late. And I was just like, right, I want a snack. Oh, like a sandwich that's a bit filling. And this tofu that was there. And honestly, pre-pressed tofu is just genius. It's so good. The amount of times that I go to make like a tofu dish and I've not put it in the press, and it does affect the meal, because it just affects the way the tofu is. It's a lot of water in there. It doesn't absorb the flavor as much. But I made a kind of like Szechuan tofu sandwich with like sriracha mayo, crisp iceberg lettuce. I've got this like XO mushroom Szechuan sauce, which is just amazing. And I put it in some lovely brioche buns, which we'll be talking about next.
I'm starting to dribble. That sounds really nice. I literally quickly thinly sliced it and made a TLT. So a little bit similar to what you did, but just grilled it and whacked it in a sandwich with some vegan mayo, lettuce, tomato. It's kind of perfect for a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The mince I really liked. I was really pleased with this.
I liked it.
Just did a bean chili, which my son says is his favorite meal. So I was like, amazing, right, cooking that. And I thought, oh, chuck that in as well. and it was really nice. It kind of wasn't too soft because some of the minces, the soya minces, really expand and go all sort of like soft and like almost puffy.
They also go like really crumbly as well. And I was a bit cautious of this mince, the tofu mince, because I know, again, when you fry tofu and stuff, it can go like weird consistencies depending on what you put it in. But I did it just like a simple pasta sauce and just used the tofu to thicken it up, a bit like bolognese. And yeah, it was really nice, really good texture to it. It wasn't too soft. It was like a nice bite to it. I really liked it.
Yeah. And so, as you mentioned, we tested the Bosch brioche buns, which are available now in Waitrose, £1.30 for four. I've really missed brioche buns during barbecue seasons since going vegan. And these were, I actually posted on Instagram, my Instagram's Holly_Ann_Johnson, the burger I made, and it was on the beach.
Check you out.
I know, a couple of weeks ago, because it's been so warm and sunny. I'm like, we have to get to the beach. It's nearly winter. We have to
make the most of it. Get those last minute. But I've not been doing that. I've been inside.
Oh, bless you. I'm just like dragging the kids. They're like, oh, I'm tired. No, we have to go. So kind of dragged the family down and with the little bucket barbecue and whacked some Linda McCartney burgers on and stuck them in the brioche buns and really, really, really nice.
They sound amazing. I obviously made the tofu sandwich with them and we just did like quick burgers and it was so nice, like I said, to have a brioche bun. I don't normally go for them because they are quite sweet. But these ones were very nice. They were a good, like, they were nice and doughy, nice and airy. They were good.
Yeah, not too dry and not too sweet either.
And quite big as well. I find normally when you have like brioche buns from the supermarket or whatever, they tend to be quite small.
Yeah, good size. Well done, Bosch. They've got loads of new products out, haven't they? I know in
so much
Morrison's and a few other places. So we will be getting those into taste test in an upcoming episode. Okay, well, on to our listener question. So Ali emailed us and asked, I'm looking to meet more vegans or people who eat more plant-based food. What online platforms do you recommend? Personally, Facebook. I am in so many Facebook groups, local ones as well as national ones, as well as like international ones. Just join them all, get a feel for them. And, you know, if you don't kind of feel like they're your kind of people, then you can just leave. Yeah. But you need to kind of get in there and get a feel for it. Connect with people, actually ask questions, comment on things. Where else do you?
So there is a website called Meetup. It sounds quite suspicious, but anticipation to this question, I just put in Google vegan meetup groups and they had like a dedicated page to it and they showed like UK national groups. I think they were Facebook groups. All around the country, there's so many, which is amazing to see. Like, so many different parts of the country have dedicated one. I'm on one. I'm on the Bristol Vegan Group, and it's just such a nice community. I think there's a load of different people on there. Some who are vegan, some aren't, and it's good to just get recommendations, recipes. They're really good. So yeah, meet up and then just check Facebook.
Yeah, because I mean, I know there's a local group and they kind of do regular meetups at like pubs or they have like a meal and things. And just kind of search for your area. Ali also asked us about books. So she enjoys borrowing from her local library, which is amazingly sustainable. Yeah. Well done, you. I haven't been to a library in like forever. So what vegan-based books would you recommend? Fictional stories, lifestyle history, or just embracing veganism? Do you have any books that you kind of... Because I when I went vegan, I read loads, but now I don't read so much. I'm a bit time poor, to be honest.
I think for me as well, this question kind of put me to shame a bit. I think because of our jobs, we read so much about veganism and it's what we talk about is everyday life. So sometimes reading books about veganism can sometimes feel as if you're at work. But that's not to say there aren't any amazing books. On the Vegan Food and Living website, actually, there's quite a few pages that share loads of different books on there.
One that I read when I first went vegan was How Not to Die by Michael Greger.
Yeah.
That is like my Bible. You wouldn't necessarily want to sit down and read it cover to cover, but you can kind of dip in and dip out of it. Because, you know, it just literally covers everything from asthma to cancer to diabetes. Yeah, so many studies in there that kind of back up the plant-based diet. There's also Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs and Wear Cows by Dr. Melanie Joy. I follow her on Facebook. She's brilliant. There's a lovely one called Allowed to Grow Old, which is kind of like photos of rescued animals when, you know, they are allowed to age, because obviously pigs, you know, and cows are all killed at such a young age. So these are kind of like elderly animals living out their happy lives in sanctuaries.
That's so nice.
I know. There's Your Body in Balance by Neil Barnard, Finding Ultra Immune to Fitness by Rich Roll, who's, you know, huge podcaster, even bigger than us, Molly.
Oh my gosh. We'll have to take notes.
Yeah. And The Food Revolution by John Robbins. He's another quite prominent figure. He's an American. So yeah, there's a few to look at. I don't know about fictional stories. Never really thought about reading fictional.
Yeah. Do you know what? So referring back to this page on the Vegan Food and Living website, they, for this one article, they interviewed people from ProVeg US. And interestingly, one of the people said that Fantastic Mr. Fox by Roald Dahl influenced them, like when they were a child, to sort of think about other ways of eating, because obviously the three men in the book, what did they do? They got like a chicken farm, an apple farm, and then I can't remember what the other one was. But it's all about like making, they said in the thing, it makes them think about land and like property of animals, and then also the wild animals around these like production houses or whatever, how it affects them and stuff. So it's quite interesting when you think about books that aren't necessarily vegan screaming or whatever, they have those, the backgrounds to it.
I never even thought of that. We better wrap it up there, because we now need to go on to our interview with Lisa Marley. Like I said, she's a vegan chef and nutrition advisor, and she has loads of advice for anyone who wants to join in our whole food plant-based challenge. If you're up for it, we'd love to hear from you. Email us
definitely
on simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. Email us your questions. Follow us on Instagram at Simply Vegan Podcast. Again, we're going to have our show reels of our amazing what veg did we pick again? I've forgotten already.
Oh, bloody hell. Peppers.
Peppers. Our amazing pepper recipes. And don't forget to leave us a review so that other people can maybe have a listen, be inspired to go vegan. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa. It's great to have you with us today. So you're a vegan chef and a nutrition advisor, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. But, you know, I don't actually really call myself a vegan chef. I just normally say a push plant-based, even though I don't eat any animal product, you know, dairy, meat. But I've got this thing about labels.
Do you think sort of saying vegan puts people off?
I think it's more, I feel like if someone's been vegan for like 20 years and never worn leather, and then I just feel a bit paranoid about it. I think, oh, they're going to be like, they're going to judge me and be, oh, you're not vegan enough to be vegan. So
you feel like you're going to be caught out wearing, you're going to be caught out walking down the street with an old pair of leather shoes on. They'll be like, you're not a real one.
You're a fraud. So yeah, that's why I kind of, I do it just so almost to cut as a disclaimer. But on the flip side of that, compared to someone that eats meat and has dairy, then I'm as vegan as it can be.
Yeah. You're definitely one of us, Lisa, don't worry.
Yeah. part of the gang.
Yeah, you're in the gang. So you are going to advise Molly and I on our whole food plant-based challenge that we're starting this week. So I'm really excited to hear what you've got to say. But let's start out. I mean, how did you, when did you first go vegan? How did you get into cooking? What's the story?
Sure. I actually trained as a pastry chef. So I was all about cake, sugar, butter, cream. And I didn't give it a second thought. I really didn't. And I think my friends, a really good friend, a couple of mine, became vegan. And at first, it was almost like I was offended. Oh, they've gone vegan. Like, and we were like, oh, how can they do it? I could never give up cheese.
Yeah.
And then slowly over the years, you just have more information. You start thinking more. There's more. You can't ignore the information. So growing up, yes. Maybe I didn't have the power to know the truth or what. Anyway, the other main reason was we've got a dog. We've got a little puppy called Alfie, a little Shih Tzu. And I don't know, he just opened my heart. And after that, I thought, how can I differentiate animals? Aren't they, you know? And that was it. And literally, it's not that I suddenly didn't like meat or cheese or fish. It was more the fact the anxiety and guilt behind it was too overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A lot of people say that, actually. I interviewed Matt Pritchard, do you know, Dirty Vegan. So he... So he went vegan because of his dog. And I think, I think a lot of people kind of think, hang on, why am I loving you like you're one of my own children, yet I'm eating another animal? And, yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense,
And it's also, I read this thing about vets that eat meat. And I was like, yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then, so I was very stop start for me, started a vegetarian and then started cutting out different things. I didn't just overnight, bam. And it took, so I would say fully. And I mean, every now and then I will have an egg as long as I know we have a farm in Kent where you can go online and see the chickens.
Yeah.
And that's why I get paranoid about calling myself like vegan. Like, oh God, what about that egg I had a month ago? So yeah, so it's always like you're, it's like going admitting your sins.
I had an egg.
But I mean, I would never ever eat meat again, ever. I mean, just couldn't do it. But certain occasions that I might have an egg. I don't. For me, the dairy industry is one of the hardest things to deal with. I think the cows just get a raw deal in life, and if I see a cow, I just want to apologize to them and say, I'm so sorry.
I know. It's a funny one, eggs, isn't it? Because my mum and I rescued a load of chickens from a local free range farm, and I was shocked to see, you know, that it was free range, because they were trying to sort of, I mean, they were lovely, the people there, and, you know, very smiley and nice, but they obviously didn't want us to see inside the shed. And there were thousands of these so-called free range birds. I mean, obviously they must have been adhering to the guidelines, but they were all crammed into this shed. And that's basically terrible. They try to get people they basically charge, I think it's £1.60 per chicken, because that's the price they get from the slaughterhouse. So they kind of advertise it locally, which is good, because then people can come and rescue them. But they're so young. I mean, they, you know, my mum took, we took as many as we could. We were just loading them all into boxes, going, can we get one more in the booth? And then we, you know, took them to my mum's, because my mum has got like a big chicken coop. But all of her older chickens had kind of slowly died. So she didn't really have any left. So she had loads of room.
Sure.
And they lay so many eggs. I mean, but because they're not laying enough to make it a commercial business, you know, they obviously send them off to slaughter. So it is a tricky one, because my mum will say, oh yeah, it's this cake's, you know, vegans, and I'll be like, oh wow, okay. And she's like, well, you know, apart from my eggs. So she almost doesn't class her eggs as, you know, an animal product. And it is hard, because I think, oh well, you know, those chickens have been rescued, they're living a great life.
Well, exactly. It's all down to your own personal moral compass.
Yeah.
So I try not to judge people. I mean, because I've got lots of friends that eat meat, and I don't like sit there lecturing them. Yeah. If you go out for dinner and they have meat, I don't like leave the table.
Yeah.
I personally couldn't do it.
Yeah. But,
so yeah, I just think do the best you can do.
Yeah.
And if, as long as you're doing the best you can do, that's all we can ask of ourselves, really.
Yeah, exactly. So this challenge that Molly and I are doing, so whole food plant-based, I mean, what does it actually mean? Is it just eating clean?
Well, a whole food plant-based diet aims to maximise consumption of nutrient-dense plant foods whilst minimising processed foods like oils and fat, and of course, obviously no animal products. And this can promote a healthy weight and disease prevention, because the body can store glycogen, the energy from plant food rich in complex carbohydrates, a lot easier. And this can lead to better blood circulation and oxygenation, meaning overall more energy, better sleep, clearer skin, and potential weight loss if that's what you're looking to do.
So what are a few of the other benefits?
I mean, the list is endless. So it can help prevent type 2 diabetes. It lowers cholesterol and increases good cholesterol. And it can decrease your risk of diseases and cancers. And this is all, you know, study-based as well. And research suggests that people who eat primarily plant-based diets tend to have a lower BMI, so body mass index. And of course, it's also cost-effective, and it's a low-risk diet because, you know, there's nothing, you know, bad about plants. It can lower blood pressure. And so all in all, it's really, really good for you. What I would say is, if you are embarking on this for maybe the first time, or you've not done it before, or you want to do the challenge, is just have a little look at your vitamin and mineral intake, especially iron, especially for women. So iron-rich foods include kidney beans, black beans, spinach, soybeans, cashew, cabbage. And I also take supplements. So I take an iron with vitamin C, omega-3, vitamin D, because we don't really get the sun in this country. And I take a really good multivitamin. Another thing you want to think about, especially if you're plant-based or vegan, is B12, because B12 is actually produced by bacteria, not plants. And so it's really, you must take a supplement. So, I mean, I do use nutritional yeast, but I also take a supplement as well. And as I was saying, like your fatty acids, omega-3s and 6, which you can find in flax seeds, walnuts and flax oil. So there is a little bit of planning required, I think, for a plant-based diet. But all in all, with a little bit of discipline, the benefits are just ongoing, endless. I can't, promote it enough, really.
It really is amazing. I mean, since going vegan and eating a mostly plant-based diet, I literally have not been ill at all, touch wood. I think I had one sickness bug which lasted, you know, a matter of hours, and that's in 3 or 4 years. And I would always get ill, like every winter I'd get, you know, throat things, sort of tonsillitis type things. So yeah, it's just it's mind-blowing really what plants can do. There are a few grey areas, aren't there? So, you know, can you eat things like bread or dried pasta on a plant-based whole food diet?
Well, if you think white flour is really highly processed, so that would, I guess, rule out white pasta, white bread, cakes, highly processed cakes. But I think personally, I think you can have chickpea pasta, lentil pasta, even though that is quite highly processed. So again, it's down to how pure you want to get it. So it's not like a raw food diet. So I've actually never done that challenge, by the way, full disclosure, because I think it's a good thing to do, though, for sure. I wouldn't mind trying it myself. But for me, it'd be to be as pure and as close to the natural form as possible of the ingredient. But then, you know, tinned chickpeas, are you going to allow yourself tinned chickpeas? I don't see why not.
I think, you know, they're still a whole food, aren't they? They're just preserved in a tin, but maybe I'll go for like organic tinned, or maybe look for jars of, I'm trying to cook things like lentils from dried now, and it's cheaper as well, isn't it?
Oh, a lot cheaper. Yeah, I always do that. And I would go for like a, if you're gonna, because I love carbs, you see, so I would go for like a rye bread. If you do, you have, do you ever bake your own bread?
No, I really wish I did.
Sourdough, maybe.
I buy sourdough from like local bakeries or
the
supermarket. But no, I've never made my own. I'm sad to say that because I really want to.
It's actually one of the easiest things to make basic bread, but then you don't really want, you can't have the white flour in the, it's too highly processed.
Could I use spelt flour, something like that?
Yeah, definitely. What I would do, I mean, if you wanted, you know, my advice, it would be to plan your meals as much as you can. I always fall short when I'm, by just not planning. And then you get really hungry and then you just reach for what's ever the most convenient thing. And it's usually not the most healthiest when it's the most convenient. And I tend to shop online. I don't really like trawling the supermarkets because they're really busy. I get so distracted. I'm never really focused.
Yeah.
I know you have to go to the supermarket sometimes, but I really do most of my shopping online because I can do it really calmly. I know what I'm looking for. And that way you can plan what you're going to eat and you can stock up as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, your fresh veg, you want to get as ideally organic. And as locally as possible, but that's not always possible for everyone, is it? If you live in a, depends where you live really. I'm lucky where I live.
I get
lots of farms.
I get a veg box, an organic veg box delivered every week, so that's good. That's like ticked off.
So
it's just kind of topping up with all those staples. Because, you know, like you say, you go to the supermarket and you do get distracted because you go, it's vegan and it's on offer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a new...
And it's pretty packaging.
I know, it's a new Bosch ready meal. Well, I need to try it because, you know, it's vegan and I've got to tell everyone how great veganism is and, you know, support the cause and before I know it. And also on this show, we obviously get sent a lot of things to taste test, which it, again, is amazing. And we love sharing with everyone, you know, our views on our reviews of new products that are coming out. And I think they've really got a place, but you can, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Because before you know it, you are eating things like vegan cheese, vegan butter, mock meats, etc., kind of every day. And you can get a bit lazy.
I mean, I'm guilty of using far too many, like making, using the minces, the chickens pieces. And you just, so I now, though, what my husband and I decided to do is actually just treat it as if it is, i.e. fast food and meat. So we wouldn't eat that every day. So I definitely try to cut right back. Because it's more expensive, and it is just convenience food when you think about it. It's highly processed. I'm not saying it's really bad for you, but it's certainly not as good as good for you as cooking from scratch. And but I love tofu, so I don't have any guilt about eating tofu, and you can do so much with it. And that's kind of now my go-to meat substitute.
Yeah, I've really got into tofu lately. You can do, like you say, so many things with it and impart it with so many different flavours using spices and sauces and things. What about snack ideas? Because that's one thing, isn't it? You kind of go, oh, I'm a bit hungry, and you open up a biscuit, packet of biscuits or a packet of crisps or whatever. What snacks are there that you can eat on a whole food plant-based diet?
I mean, I would personally, I'd probably make my own little energy bars or energy balls with out of dates and nuts and some coconut oil to bind it together. But then for me, it's easier because I kind of think about food all the time and I'm cooking all the time. But an energy bar, I mean, it really isn't hard to make and they will keep you going little bites. Obviously, it's going to be high in sugar because of the dates, so you'd have to be a bit careful of that.
You know, I can kind of make things up on my lunch hour, but if you're not working from home, you do need to be super organized, don't you? So that you've, you know, got it all there.
Your meal prep, think about your, do your shopping, do your meal prep. And then it's easy. That little bit of effort just makes the whole week so much easier.
Yeah.
And you can, you sit down with an evening the night before when you're going to do your online shop, whenever it is, and then think about and go on Instagram, look at the magazines, go on websites, get some recipe ideas. I think if you are doing a challenge like this, you've got to have things to look forward to get you through it as well. some people might fly for it and be like, this is the best decision I've ever made. Other people might be really missing, you know, their vegan burger.
Yeah.
So although you could make your own, obviously.
True. Yes. What would you make one with? Black beans or?
Yeah, chickpeas, black beans, onions, standard really. Although my thing about vegan burgers is I'm so fed up of going out and my only option is the vegan burger.
I know.
I've literally got them coming out of my ears.
I know.
I don't want to eat any more vegan burgers.
If you're going to like cut out processed food, if you're eating it on a regular basis and go sort of really clean with your eating, is there anything that you need to think about? Are you likely to get bloating or anything like that?
Oh, definitely if you up your vegetable and fruit and you're not used to it, you probably will for a couple of days. But I don't think it'll be anything, well, hopefully it won't be anything too drastic or long lasting. And once your body gets used to it, then you shouldn't have any problem whatsoever. You might be, you might notice a few more, how do you put this politely?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Things like, may flow a bit.
Yeah.
That is in a good way.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened when I first went vegan. Actually, I went vegan overnight and I went whole food plant-based overnight because because I met a lady who's super super clean vegan, you know, and I didn't really know about processed vegan options at the time, vegan cheese. I hadn't discovered all these bad things back then. My body was like, whoa, okay, right, this is happening. Okay. But I lost about half a stone and felt fantastic. Yeah, really good. But since then, you know, it's like, oh my God, there's this new product. And
yeah,
it's hard, isn't it? You know, ice cream, really hard. And pizzas. And
because luckily there is so much more available now. I mean, it's literally changed so much, even in the short time that I've been doing it, the same as you, for a few years, but it's just completely changed. And I do meet people that say they lost weight. I never lost weight. I was like, oh, I'm doing this wrong. Oh. But then I suppose I probably was concentrating too much on the cake side of it. Because it's vegan cake. It doesn't mean it's healthy.
I know.
I do make a healthy cake or a healthy brownie because I have got such a sweet tooth. But I think it's an acquired taste. So I wouldn't give it to a friend and they would go, oh, this is delicious. They'd probably be like, oh, this is funky. And I'm like, what do you mean?
What do you make it with?
I make it with black beans and chickpeas. And I use some choc shots, some cocoa powder, some cacao powder, and then sweeten it with maple syrup or I like choc shots. The fruit syrup.
Yeah, Sweet Freedom, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sweeten also with dates and a couple of bananas, some plant milk, and literally blitz it up. Chia seeds. I don't think if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I call them chia seeds.
Yeah.
Blitz up in a food processor. And it's really that simple. And sometimes I chop up some tinned pears.
Wow.
Because I think pears and chocolate go well.
That sounds lovely.
I really like it, but I don't know if someone who didn't really eat a lot of black beans and chickpeas and that kind of thing would enjoy it as much. But obviously you can add sugar and flour, but then you're going down a different road.
Yeah, I might try that on the children because obviously being kids, they want that sugar hit because they're so exhausted after school. And I hate them opening like packets of stuff because you've got the plastic and it's all processed. So I might have a go at doing those brownies. Maybe you could, have you got the recipe on your website?
Do you know, I don't think I have. I will put it up there because it's one of those staples that I make all the time.
Yeah.
And also when it sets in the fridge overnight, it does go like stodgy, like gooey, like a brownie.
Oh, lovely. What about lunch ideas then? Because I think a lot of people, like, for example, my mum is vegetarian, and even though I've been vegan like 4 years and so is my daughter, she still doesn't get what you can put in a sandwich. She's sort of old school, as in, well, if you're not putting cheese or ham in the sandwich, what is there? And of course, I say things like you can do chickpea tuna, or she thinks if you don't have ham or cheese, all you can have in the sandwich is salad. So, you know, I suppose
dry
you could have,
sandwich.
Yeah. So I suppose you could have avocado or hummus. What other ideas are there that like you would recommend for lunches?
I love doing like a really quick one is a tin of butter beans and some lemon juice and some smoked paprika and some olive oil. And I use a hand blender, just blitz it up and you spread that on toast. And I'm not really a fan of the sandwich. Like I rarely make a sandwich. I don't know why. I like things on toast.
Yeah.
But for lunch, a sandwich never seems to fill me up enough.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What was that?
Another one.
But I suppose, the butter beans obviously really fill you up because they're quite filling, aren't they? And sometimes if I'm super hungry, but I'm trying not to eat too much, which is pretty much all the time because I love to eat, I add chickpeas as well. So it's just the beans and the lemon juice and the lemon zest and a little bit of salt, olive oil. Sometimes I add coriander. So it's a little bit kind of getting along the way to hummus, but it's not with the tahini.
Yeah.
Because I eat a lot of hummus.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love baba ganoush and all those kind of
roasted
pepper hummus. Anything you can have with hummus, I'm a big fan of the chickpea. I love chickpeas.
Yeah.
So I whack it in everything. I literally made a curry today. Chickpeas. It just wouldn't be right without chickpeas.
I don't think you can be vegan without loving your dips, can you? I'm a big fan of the savoury dips. In fact, there's a running joke in my family because, you know, we've got quite a big family and it'll be like, right, well, what are you going to make? And my sister might do meringues because she's really good at making them. And then they're like, you're going to bring a dip, Holly? And sometimes yes, I bring them and they're a huge hit and everyone's like, oh, I must get the recipe. And other times, like I'm the sort of cook who just throws stuff in and hopes for the best.
Yeah.
So it's a bit hit and miss. So sometimes they come out and they're kind of brown and I take this dip round and everyone's like, ooh, there's the vegan dip.
Fudge. very sludge.
Yeah, but that butter beans blended up with paprika and that on toast sounds really good. I'm going to try that tomorrow.
It's a good filler. You could actually do a thick layer in your sandwich if you like sandwiches, then put your salad on.
Yeah,
but I think as well, winter and summer, like, don't I definitely want different things for lunch. In the winter, I want a chunky soup.
Yeah,
with a roll.
Yeah.
You know, I want something much more comforting and filling and warm, whereas it's a lot easier, I think, in the summer to, you know, whip that. It's just because you can have loads of different lovely salads and it's a lot easier. But so you're starting the challenge. When are you starting the challenge, actually?
We're starting it this week.
So the weather's okay. So you for a few weeks, you'll be okay. Do you ever do like one pot slow cooking overnight, some like root vegetables? I mean, definitely that's winter cooking, but that might be nice.
I used to have a slow cooker. I think it broke and got relegated to the garage and it's probably still there covered in dust. But because I work from home, I often eat leftovers for lunch, actually. So I've cooked the night before, I might have, I don't know whether it's a bean chili leftovers or stir fry noodles. So it's quite handy, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always make more than it's needed.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see a difference in our nutrition levels then? Because we're hoping to test them before we start and at the end of the 30 days.
That's a good idea. I would say it would be really hard not to improve your nutrition if you're eating a plant-based whole food diet. I mean, it would be crazy if you didn't get more vitamins, minerals and nutrients into your body.
Yeah.
Is that why you're doing it?
Well, we just wanted to sort of challenge ourselves to do it. And also, you know, a lot of people, there's been a lot of backlash lately, hasn't there, about all the processed vegan food that's coming out, saying, you know, it's not healthier than eating meat and dairy. And, you know,
really winds me up.
I know, because there's so many reasons not to eat milk, dairy and meat, not just for health. And we know that, you know, meat, especially processed meat, is linked to all kinds of cancers. And dairy as well. So, but it's obviously, you know, the environmental reasons and the animals.
Yeah.
So
ethical. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we just thought it'd be really interesting, and also to kind of, you know, for anyone who is new to veganism, or anyone who has been vegan for a little while but still transitioning. And I think when you are transitioning, you often swap like for like, don't you? So you might give up cheese and have vegan cheese, or give up, you know, meat on your pizza, but you're having meat replacements. So I think it's just, you know,
gets you out of your zone and gets you kind of freshens you up a bit.
Yeah,
no, it's a really great idea, because it gets you thinking.
Exactly, and it's a different way of cooking, isn't it? You know, like you say, using black beans in a brownie. I mean, who would have thought that you could do that? But it's possible, and it's great. It's good for you, and it tastes good. So.
Yeah, and store covered ingredients as well, so you don't, you know.
Exactly.
I literally, when I look at black beans, I think is cake.
You're cake obsessed.
Yeah, I know.
See, terrible. I think I look at them and I think tacos with chili and lime. I have such a savory tooth. And maybe a margarita on the side, but let's not go down that route.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure whether alcohol counts as a whole food or not. I mean, I'm
that's a
thinking
tricky one.
Probably not.
Probably not, but yeah, so
I'm going to cut down. I'm not going to commit to not drinking for a month. Or should I? I don't know. I can't decide.
It's a hard one. Just cut down. Cut down. Okay. You can always do it again.
Right. Well, I have to take your advice, Lisa, as our nutritional advisor. So, you know.
But you're well. I mean, okay, professional head on, then yeah, definitely don't drink. It's so bad for you. I mean, it's horrifically bad for you. There's nothing good. I do drink. So
yeah,
you know, perhaps, moderation.
Perhaps like sort of gin and tonic might be, you know, the best, or maybe something with soda, something quite clean, and I don't know.
I mean, it's all sugar, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately. Let's
quickly moving on from that. So how do you go about creating new recipes? Because obviously you've got your blog, haven't you? Is it lisamarleychef.com?
Yeah, my website, .com, yeah.
.com. So you've got loads of recipes on there that listeners can go and have a look at. And you kindly provide them for Vegan Food and Living magazine as well, don't you? So if anyone is a regular reader of Vegan Food and Living, then they'll find your recipes in there. Where do you start? Where do you kind of get inspiration from?
I'm a massive fan of Instagram, so I'm very visual. So I will look at some gorgeous food photography and be inspired and think, right, I don't even have to look at the recipe. It's just a spark or an idea, or just even a way something's been photographed. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get some blackberries and I'm going to make some XYZ. So that's my main, obviously magazines and online, and really what's in season as well. So just being in the local greengrocers and thinking, that's cool. Although when I saw pumpkins the other day, I was like, no way, are you kidding me? Pumpkin season already.
I know, not yet.
Got to get on board. I know. So yeah, it's more what's in the zeitgeist, what's in the air, and then that will inspire me. And even though I do bake cakes and do sweet stuff, I actually do a lot of savoury stuff, because you can't live on cake.
No.
And obviously it's not that good for you.
Yeah. What, for anyone like me who is totally rubbish at taking pictures of food, and I, you know, the reason I share food on Instagram, and I'm probably one of these annoying people that sort of pops up and it's a terrible picture of my dinner, and people following me think, why on earth is she sharing this? But I share it because I want to give other people meal ideas, and I want to inspire people to eat more vegan food and go vegan. So I keep doing it, even though I'm really rubbish. What tips do you have for anyone who wants to, you know, inspire others to eat plant-based but are really crap at Instagram?
I would say, but they want to put their food on Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, my friend is a food photographer, and he's always like, composition, lighting. It's all about the lighting. If you follow the basic steps, he's always backlit, and work on your composition. I mean, I'm not a food photographer, so I love looking at beautiful images, I do my best. I've got, you know, I try and make it look as good as possible. But it's definitely a talent. But just, I don't think everything has to be like on a professional level to look good. I don't always go for the professional photographers on my account, like when I'm scrolling through looking at different food ideas and other people's. But yeah, it's just, I would say if you like the look of it, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
If you like it, then put it up there. Okay. You know, who cares?
Yeah. Keep it real.
Yeah. We all know it doesn't look like that. I mean, the really high quality, gorgeous shots. I mean, there's a team of people behind them and, yeah, you know, a home ec and lighting,
yeah, and props and, things.
It's the same. Yeah. It's the same as a model. They, you know, they don't, celebrities, they don't look like that in real life.
Yeah.
It's the same with the food.
Yeah. I remember hearing once that they used to, I don't know whether they still do this, but put, obviously not for Instagram, but things like TV adverts, they put kind of tampons in the microwave and then stick it in the food so that it steams.
Yeah. That's disgusting. Oh, there's a million things. Yeah, definitely. I used to work on QVC for KitchenAid or some brand, I can't remember now. But yeah, the food styling, did, like, you never eat the food from on television.
Really?
Because it's always been there for hours and it's been like glossed with, you know, nail varnish something gross. Yeah, it might look delicious, but you would never eat it. Oh, no, I don't eat that. That's been there for 3 days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, sometimes I'll just cook something and it will be so delicious, but my photos just do not do it justice. And when the kids are sitting down waiting for their meal, they're like, you know, oh, Mom, why are you having to take a picture of? I'm like, don't eat it yet. I've got to take a picture.
Yeah.
So I don't really have time to then start 100%. Backlighting it, because I think they'll just be like, no, enough is enough.
It got to the point where my husband was like, can I eat this now? Can I eat this now?
No.
Can I eat it? Don't eat it. Yeah.
You moved a bit. You moved that pee.
Yeah, you can get obsessed.
Well, going back to baking then, because I don't cover baking enough on this podcast because I'm just crap at baking and my mum's amazing at baking. So I just leave it all to her, and my sisters are actually really good as well. So that's their thing. And, you know, I do the savoury stuff. So for listeners that are into baking and, you know, find it difficult to cook without eggs, because I know when I have tried to make things, I mean, back in the day when I tried to make things with eggs, they still didn't rise. So you know, I've got no hope. You know, what tips would you share with us?
Similar tips, actually, to if you were using eggs and doing a traditional cake or biscuit or pastry, is get to know your oven. So oven temperatures really vary. So and all ovens have hot spots. So kind of, you know, use your oven a few times to get to know it. Have all your ingredients at room temperature. That's another one. Okay. I would say invest in digital scales, because guesstimating, that's the word, doesn't work. Yeah, just get digital scales. Get them anywhere. They're really cheap.
This is why I'm terrible, because I guesstimate everything.
There's loads of egg replacements out there now. You can, there's Cracked, there's Aquafaba, egg ogs rather. You can use flax seeds, chai seeds, banana. I find like with a basic sponge, I just add half a teaspoon more baking raising agent to the self-raising flour. And that's it, really. I mean, I've definitely got recipes on Instagram on my website if you are interested in like just a cake recipe that you can mix up and make into a million different things.
What's your favorite egg replacement then? Which is your go-to?
It goes through phases. Like, it used to be banana, and I'd add a banana to everything, like a mashed banana, and then it was like soaked chia seeds, so it was like gelatinous. But now I've been just using a kind of like a buttermilk, so it's a plant milk with lemon, so it curdles. Apple cider vinegar, so it curdles.
Okay,
and that works really, really well.
Okay.
And I get brilliant results. And I use a vegetable oil instead of butter, because you get some really good block butters now.
Yeah.
Obviously plant-based. But I find the vegetable oil, which you don't need a lot of, just keeps it really, really moist. So yeah, that's so that would be my egg replacement, really. My favourite one at the moment. I'm getting some really good results and like really lovely sponges.
Okay. And what about Yorkshire puddings? Do you get those to rise?
Oh, do you know I never make them?
Don't you?
Do you know that I never make Yorkshire puddings?
I have to. My son's obsessed with them. So definitely don't rise without the eggs.
They're a tricky
well.
One, the batter. Yeah, that is a you know what? I would have to practice and find out and let you know.
Yeah, maybe get back to us. You've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
So much advice there. Really, really helpful. And yeah, anyone listening who wants to see some of Lisa's recipes, head over to her website, lisamarleychef.com. What's your Instagram handle?
It's Lisa Marley Chef.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Well, Lisa is also sharing a day-by-day meal planner for anyone joining us on our whole food challenge for the next 30 days. So make sure you check that out. You can also leave us a review on your platform of choice. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to send your questions to simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. Next week, we'll be speaking to ProVeg about COP26. We'll be discussing how a plant-based diet can help save our planet.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.